One of the interesting things when looking in an antique store is look at all the stuff and realize that at one time this stuff was new and people were astounded and absolutely thrilled to have this stuff. This is especially true when you're talking about agriculture and stuff like chili. Even though that stuff you see in antique stores is rusted, but the chili, it has changed quite a bit. Michael Swickard here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. I saw something the other day which made me think about how agriculture has changed in southern New Mexico over the many years. Fresh Chili Company owner Randy McMillan was at a field near Hatch, New Mexico, that chili capital of the world, where there was chili planting going on by a machine. This machine went down the rows where the chili was to be planted, and it put 9 rows of plants in at a time, had some people on it. The chili plants were started in a greenhouse, so they were several inches tall, and this machine could go down a row planting it. They do it in a greenhouse because chili plants don't like cold weather. This machine was a marvel of engineering and how it combined with agriculture. Think of how far chili has come over the years. Today, it's a major crop in New Mexico with thousands of acres. A long time ago, it was just family garden stuff that most families in southern New Mexico grew one family at a time. Long ago, each family who year after year grew chili in their garden did so. Their way of doing it was they kept some seeds from the last chili harvest they had. Those seeds were kept safe over the winter, and when it seemed the winter was over, those seeds were hand-planted, carefully tended, hand by hand. The only mechanical device, if there was one, was a shovel or a hoe, and it worked fine when you had just a couple dozen seeds and a couple dozen plants. When the plants produced chili pods, there was great rejoicing in each of those families, and at the right time, those pods were picked, depending on whether they wanted green or red, and then over the family stove, if they were green, the wax skin was roasted right off. The green chili was eaten immediately and really enjoyed. Now, the red chili was dried and ground into some powder. Some of those red chili seeds were kept in a safe place for the next year, and you can see year by year what it does. When the dried red chili was applied to food, there was a great satisfaction in the household since it really did enhance the flavor of whatever they were eating. Fast forward to the year 1913 in the Agricultural Experiment Station in Las Cruces at the college which we now know as New Mexico State University. The director of the experiment station was Fabian Garcia, who was also a professor of horticulture at the college. Most of the chili grown in the area was homegrown, and some people would offer to sell some of theirs to fellow citizens. But there was a big problem. Newcomers to southern New Mexico just could not handle how much capsaicin there was in the local chili. The locals liked it. They liked it hot. And it burnt the mouth of the people who had never eaten capsaicin before, and they go, "No, I don't really want any more of that." As farmers were considering what to do with the new supply of water they were going to have, because they could see it coming, as they were building Elephant Butte Dam, and that was going to be for agricultural water, they were thinking of chili as an export crop if they could just cure two problems. It was too hot for the taste of many non-residents, those people that had not eaten it, and the chili peppers didn't grow very straight, so if they were to be canned, they had to be put in they could not be put in whole because they were kind of crooked growing. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories in New Mexico. Hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. So we're talking about the change in chili farming from the time when it was family farms to a major industry that it is now in southern New Mexico, the Hatch Valley Chili Farms, the best chili in the world, yes. Agricultural researcher Fabian Garcia provided the research to get the New Mexico chili industry going. What he did was he developed a variety called New Mexico Number 9, which was a milder chili pepper than the local peppers. It still had a good bite to it, but not so much. And it also grew straighter, so it was easier to can when it was to be shipped. And over the years, we shipped some and then we shipped more. At the time, with the new chili pepper plants and plenty of water, the third thing was the railroads came through southern New Mexico so that the chili product could be shipped anywhere within a week or so. And there was some demand for this savory chili all over the United States. In the last 100 years, the production of chili to send all over the world happened. A little at a time it happened, with varieties of chili being developed to be hotter or milder or better or red or green, all the stuff that was in the development. In the 1970s, Dr. Roy Nakayama developed what at the time was the largest chili pepper pods, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. The aim was to use them for chili rellenos. But the taste of Big Jim chili then and now was fantastic, and regardless of whether it was used for chili rellenos or enchiladas or tacos, people loved Big Jim chili. The use of both red and green chili doubled and doubled again, and it has been going up. The acres of chili peppers increased, as also did the techniques for growing and harvesting and preparing the chili. New machines were invented year after year, and always it was about agricultural efficiency. Years ago, before all the development of the large chili operations, there was some canning of chili, which was well received. Over the years, mostly chili was consumed quickly, dried or frozen. I used to have a lot of frozen chili in my freezer, and that's the way I did before I discovered I could get it really nice in bottles. A few people started putting the product in cans and bottles. Then the Fresh Chili Company really raised the bar for great chili. They were a home operation and just enjoying the heck out of Sunday meals with red chili. And people would ask Randy McMillan for jars of chili, which he and his wife Carol would sometimes have a few. And one time so many people asked that they bottled 1,500 jars one fall. It didn't last very long, so they looked at each other, they prayed about it, and they said, well, let's make a company, and we will take the chili, we'll roast it, and we'll bottle it. They researched canning and also developed over 40 varieties of Hatch Valley chili to be put into jars, and those jars are heat-sealed and shipped all over the world. And it is a great success, and boy, do I enjoy that chili. The mechanical equipment used to grow and harvest crops has steadily improved, and the yields of the fields of chili has seen the research improving all of this in many ways, and it'll only get better every year. I sure look for, we've planted now, and we'll be harvesting in July, and the roasting starts. Let's do a little history of southern New Mexico. Two things happened between when New Mexico became part of the United States that had a agricultural impact upon all of those ag operations. The first was the invention and development of windmills. We didn't usually have windmills here a few hundred years ago, so you had to find water either in a river or it had to rain. Using wind to pump water started in 1850s in New England and moved to Chicago. The need for windmills was in the Southwest, where water is scarce and rain is infrequent. There was water there always as people walked across. It was just a couple hundred feet below their feet, and there was dirt. By the 1870s, windmills had gone west from Chicago, and they were all over New Mexico. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces. Hit subscribe to automatically get these products. talking about two things that really changed the agricultural aspect of southern New Mexico. Well, one was barbed wire, and I'll get to that in a moment, and then windmills. Back to the windmills. Now, what windmills had to be able to do was to swivel with the direction of the wind and not come apart when a really big gust of winds, like we have, I don't want to tell any stories, but we've had some big gusts of winds. They also had to be simple enough to work on that ranchers could take care of the several systems working together to pull water to the surface. Drilling or digging wells was actually something done by people who did that sort of thing, but even if the windmill only pumped a couple gallons of water an hour, if that, it would be enough so that ranchers could easily have horses or cattle or sheep, depending on what their ranch was. Windmills became a standard part of the ranches in New Mexico. That some of them were in wood frames and later became metal structures, but anywhere you drove, you'd see windmills. Now, my grandfather had three windmills on his ranch, which was 16 miles south of Carrizozo, until he finally, in the 1850s, got electricity from the rural electrification people. Yeah, back then we had kerosene for lanterns and wood for the stove, and we pumped with windmills. Then he pumped his water with electricity. But speaking of innovations, nowadays, what's driving water pumping often is the solar energy. You'll see little solar things there that's pumping the water. Not a whole lot, but it got enough that it fills up the tanks. And so it is solar energy instead of electric lines or windmills. And that, my friends, is progress. And the old west of New Mexico really changed with the barbed wire, because before that, the cattle herds could intermingle with each other, but then you could, with barbed wire, keep them apart. And even though they still do sometimes, it makes quite a difference in how cattle are produced as a product in New Mexico if you can keep them in one pasture or one area with the barbed wire. When I was younger, the taste of chili was pretty much just red or green, fresh or dried, but so much has changed. The Fresh Chili Company has made new items like local honey, which you add some red chili to make hot honey. Just a lot of tastes that you get of chili. Mustard's been combined with both chili and jalapenos. They have also combined red chili and green chili with avocado oil for a very smooth taste, like salsa roja, which is avocado oil and Hatch Valley chili. The name is Hatch Jalapeno Salsa Roja. It's inspired by traditional Mexican salsa, creamy and spicy. Ooh, it is so good. Made from the peppers from Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Goes well with chips and tacos, and I use it on my salads. So when you look at those kinds of things, you have something good. Now, I'd like to point out you can buy a yearly Fresh Chili membership, which does a number of things. First, you get 20% off every order. Within the United States, you get free shipping and 5% cash back on every order, $10 in store credit upon signing up, easy access to new flavors, members-only products, and priority customer support. So you should check that out. If chili is an important part of your kitchen routine, become a Fresh Chili member with a yearly purchase of a membership. You go to freshchilico.com. That's freshchilico.com website, and you can see it there. You can also see all of these podcasts there, too. Now, one thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces or visit, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company gift shop at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7. It is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come by. There's a big sign over the entrance, and you can see all the stuff. You can also tour the facility if you email ahead. I'm actually the tour guide. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have plenty of news and stories about New Mexico on these podcasts. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com, michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day, oh yes, and eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili's good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili.